Ducks fans, are you ready? You are listening to the Ducks and Pucks podcast. This is the number one home for Anaheim Ducks talk and analysis. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mike Walters, along with my co-host, Eddie Richard. And we have a good show for you. You know, last time we talked, the Ducks had fired head coach Randy Carlisle. We had Tamu on the show, and we talked about, you know, how was Murray going to do behind the benches. He's now the GM, the vice president, and the interim head coach. So a lot of craziness going on. So we're going to talk about some of those games briefly. We're going to talk about Eves and Soferberg. We also have a source close to the team telling us about some players the Ducks might be looking at, so we'll cover those as well. So let me just get your initial reaction, Eddie. You saw Murray come in. The Ducks won 3 out of 4 of the games. And what did you think of what did you see, you know, this last week or so?
I'm actually waiting for a banner to be raised right now for Murray being that first game last Wednesday we went to against Vancouver, being the undefeated coach in the National Hockey League. What an accomplishment for him. And that was a fun game, Mike. Thank you for bringing me to that game. I met the whole cast, or like half the cast of the Mighty Ducks movie, and actually won a jersey too, so it's just like luck was on my side the whole time. But like I told you, the Ducks looked different. They were playing a smoother game. They were playing more physical. They just looked more loose and relaxed, like no pressure, and they were just playing the game just to play it, play the game that they love to play. And they looked like they're having fun, and the passion was there. I watched the game in Minnesota too and covered that. The same thing, the Ducks just, you know, they made mistakes, but, you know, Miller played outstanding, and the Ducks kept their forwards shooting wide, so Miller, you know, had pretty much like 85% of the chance to save the pucks, which he did a great job, and everyone was doing their job. Defense was stepping up and playing defense. You had Dalzotto and Montour taking the rush and on consecutive plays, try to put the puck in the net. And the Ducks just kept playing their game, their relaxed style of game. And it turned out that they actually came out on a 4-0 win. Perry ended up scoring his goal. Kessler finally scored the goal, threw the monkey off his back, and the big smile on his face, you can tell that relief went off, and I really hope this translates to Kessler. We know he was getting in those areas. His line played an amazing game. He was rushing toward the puck and getting into those gritty areas, even though he was going to probably most likely get hit. It just he didn't put any brakes on his skate. He just kept going for the puck, and I think the Ducks been playing some great hockey, and I mean, everyone was worried about Murray being, you know, the coach with zero experience, and I don't know what he's telling them or what he's not telling them, or just he's just letting them go out there and play the game they love, and it's translating to some better hockey, and I love to see that.
Yeah, I mean, overall, you look at these games, like you said, you know, they blanked Vancouver, you know, 1-0. Then they kind of had a lapse in that Boston game. They had, you know, difficulty getting the puck out and whatnot. You know, we saw Kevin Boyle in net for the Ducks. Obviously, Gibson's been on the IR, so has Chad Johnson. We saw Miller in the last couple games as well. And, you know, Miller beat Van Beesbrouck for the most wins by a U.S.-born goalie in the NHL, so that was good to see as well. You know, they really turned it on. I thought in the game against Washington, you know, Ovechkin scored early in that game, but they turned it on late and blew him away in the third period. Like you said, in the Minnesota game, they took it to them as well. And we saw Kessler score. We've seen Perry get a couple goals. We've seen Soferberg be on a tear now. He's got 16 goals to lead the team. So it's been crazy. I you know, the thing that's kind of interesting about this, Eddie, is it seems like the fans are kind of split right now because the Ducks are only a few points out of a wild card spot. So some fans are like, you know, embrace the tank, let's lose for Hughes and all those kind of things. But now the Ducks look like they, you know, have a chance now to maybe get into a wild card spot. What do you think about that? I mean, which side of the fence are you on that? Because it seems like, you know, there's a lot of opinions going one way or another, whether or not they want the Ducks to, you know, keep losing, or do they want to, you know, keep winning and playing better like they have been at least the last week or so.
I think most fans are just confused and going with the whole fad of lose for Hughes, Hughes this, because they just see Hughes' name is like the number one and most name talked about. I mean, honestly, I think most fans can't even spell the name Hughes, and I don't mean that as, you know, literally. I mean, as a metaphor. And if you guys can get where I'm pulling this reference from. You guys can tag me, Argonzo444, the first person that tags me with the movie reference. I'm using that. Like, not, you can't spell Hughes. I'll send you a Ducks prize pack. But Hughes, it gets annoying seeing that a lot. Lose for Hughes. Number one, I would never want my team to tank for anyone. I don't care if you're a McDavid or Crosby kind of player. I like to think that my team has that pride not to tank and not to be like the Edmonton Oilers that have been accused before of tanking intentionally. Especially for a player accused, he's probably going to be a great player in the NHL, and no doubt about it. I just don't see it, and I watched him play, you know, recently. I watched a few videos, and I can't see him turning this franchise around like Crosby did with Pittsburgh. Everyone gives Crosby a hard time, but he actually turned that franchise around. I don't know. I want the Ducks to keep winning, but I just don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. Or no, if they make the playoffs, I don't know if they're going to go far. And I'm split with that, Mike, because I don't want my team to lose at all. I'm real competitive, and I would hate to like have it lose. Yeah, it was at first. I was like, okay, I hope they lose again so we can actually change something and be better. But if the Ducks keep trending this way, with Murray behind the bench, the Ducks seem to be playing a different game than they would with Carlisle. Who knows? Maybe they're going to prove everyone wrong and just have a different mindset and play a different game and have success in the playoffs and do that. So, I mean, I'm kind of split with that, but definitely number one, I would hate to see my team just intentionally tank, because what's the point of watching your team play? Like, the Ducks just put a letter out saying, hey, we're going to lose on purpose like New York did. They didn't say that per se, but they just said that, hey, that their goal is not to win, it's kind of to rebuild. Then what's the point of being a fan of the Ducks right now and watching them? Like, we might as well just, you know, well, what's on right now? Basketball, badminton? I don't know. We could watch something else, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them losing on purpose and trying to get that number one pick or whatnot. I think it's a tough situation for everybody involved because, like you said, if they make the playoffs and then they get swept like they did last year against San Jose, then everybody's going to be pissed off because it's like you made the playoffs for nothing. But the flip side of it is, like you said, you lose all these games, you go for that first pick, but is that first pick going to turn your whole team around? It's tough to say. Sometimes the first pick's great and sometimes the first pick's not. So that's where the team's at right now. I see them still trying to win games. Like we said, they're only a few points out of the wild card, depending on what, you know, day you're listening to this podcast. But they've only been a couple points behind, especially with winning the last couple games. So they're sitting there. They are playing better hockey. I have to admit, it's been more fun to watch them this last week and a half. They're not doing the old school dump and chase as much. They're, you know, getting better on the passes. They've definitely been working the forecheck better. You saw that game against Washington. They won 70% of the faceoffs, which is just absurd. And look, they're starting to score on the power play. I mean, holy crap, what's going on with that, right? The power play has been one of the worst in the league. And now the last couple of games, they've shown some life there too. So I think the biggest question is, what do the Ducks do, next? There's a lot of things going on, a lot of news, even as we do the podcast now, that came out. And a lot of fan questions too that we're going to get to. And we'll talk about, you know, the trades. Obviously, the trade deadline's coming up. We are going to do a show, maybe not a live show, maybe one later in the day, kind of an aftermath trade deadline show where we'll talk about what happened with the Ducks, if anything significant, which we don't know because the last couple of years there really hasn't been a lot. And some of the info we've got that we're going to talk about a little bit later, it sounds like it might go that way. But it also depends on the news that's going on with Silverberg. And we had a lot of fan questions. People asking, is he going to get traded? You know, what's the deal with him? Where's he going to go? And you know, who are we going to get and whatnot? A lot of questions about that. We had Melissa asked us about that and a couple other people as well. And basically the reports that we just, you've all seen them out there, they're saying that Silverberg is here to stay. And the word on the street is that it's going to be a five-year deal. $5.25 million for each year, and then he's going to have a 10-team no-trade clause. So that's the word. That's what almost every report except for one Kings fan out there who then retracted what he was saying. So it looks like that's what's going to happen. And there's a lot of conflict even with that, Eddie. I mean, like we said, the fans are torn about losing and winning. But it seems like the fans are torn about Silverberg. There's some people out there that rather trade him now. You know, like we said, he's been scoring goals these last couple games. He's up to 16, which leads the team. People aren't happy, though, with, you know, being over $5 million or even close to that. You know, no hometown discount, I guess, on this deal. So people are concerned. Obviously, the cap thing comes into an issue as well. What's your initial take on that? I mean, if what Elliot Freeman and a bunch of these other guys are saying, this deal goes through, which is what we're hearing too. Do you like the fact that the Ducks are going to keep him, or do you think, like some of the other fans are saying, maybe trade him and get some prospects or other players in exchange?
We don't know what's going on with the Ducks right now. We have no idea if they're going to go on full rebuild mode or if they're just going to have a half rebuild mode. We have no idea. But the idea that they're signing Silverberg and 5.25 isn't that bad for him. And he has, you know, we could still trade him to 10 different teams if his choice. So, like, we're not stuck with him. And I'm pretty sure there'll be 10 teams on his list that would, a few of those teams would love to have him. So we're not stuck. It's not one of those like binding contracts where you're stuck. You're not buying a used car that turns out to be a lemon. No, it's not going to work that way. What this kind of tells me a little bit that the Ducks don't plan to go on that full rebuild mode. They have confidence that they're going to try to make a run next season too as well. I mean, this season obviously hasn't been the best for the Ducks. And just like myself and a lot of other fans, we've been frustrated with what we've seen. I think this team is changing for the best, and I think signing him is to be a crucial part of our success coming forward, you know, next season. This season, I mean, there's still that possibility. We have no idea. The Ducks came out strong and beat the Stanley Cup championship team twice already this season, came back from a big comeback the first game, but they showed glimpses of greatness, so we have no idea what they're capable of, and I really hope they reach that level. Trust me, it would just the season it's been and them winning the cup, that'd be awesome this season. I mean, it's a long shot, but it's still a possibility because they're still not out of the playoffs right now. I know a lot of people wanted this trade to happen, and I think it's more just the exciting part of who you're going to get it back and just make a trade and make a splash. But I think the Ducks did a smart thing by signing him to, you know, it wasn't too bad of a contract. But for a player like him, he's still young and he's still proving that he can produce and he has that flair. He loves to score goals and he can score goals. So a contract like his would be easy to move. And like I said, he can supply the 10 teams that he wants to be traded to, that limited clause that he has. And I'm pretty sure out of those 10 teams, a few of them, if not all of them, would be glad to take him and benefit from his style of play. I like this signing. If it's, you know, once it becomes official, it's true. I like it. And I mean, it only proves that the Ducks are willing to not just throw away their assets to kind of rebuild, but it shows confidence that they have for next season too as well. Like, we're not just going to like, hey, we're going to throw all of our good assets and we're going to just go on full rebuild. Some people think the Ducks are going to go on rebuild because this season, but let's try a half rebuild, like, you know, and see where that goes and see if we can build from that before we go on a full rebuild and spend those few seasons just, you know, being down in the dumps, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you bring up that half rebuild type thing. I mean, that's kind of where the Ducks are at now if they are going to keep Silverberg. The big problem here is this whole issue of tagging, which everybody's been talking about, and I know we've gotten some questions about that. Like, what's the deal? Because the reports are that this deal is done, but it's not going to be announced till sometime in March. Well, here's the issue with the tagging. So in the NHL, basically, the Ducks don't have much cap space. You go on Cap Friendly, you look, you know, it's like 50-something thousand, at least the last time I looked. But it's a real low amount, and that's why they've been obviously sending some players up and down between San Diego. They're trying to stay under that cap. Well, Silverberg's at 3.75. So if they go for this 5.25, you're talking about a $1.5 million difference here, which would put them over the cap next season. So this tagging rule is in effect. So basically you can't circumvent that. You can't sign a player and be over the cap in the future year. So what that means is the Ducks are going to have to do something. If this is the deal that they are going to do, which it seems like everybody's saying, they're going to have to create that room. Somehow they're going to have to make up for that $1.5 million. So that's why there's been a lot of reports out there that somebody else is going to get moved. So So that's kind of the concern. I kind of have mixed feelings. I agree with you, Eddie. If I look at the contract itself, I'm okay with it. But my concern is what adjustments are they going to have to do to now stay under the cap? And a lot of that coming out now, we've seen a lot of names being thrown out in the last couple of days. And mind you, this next week is going to be crazy. You're going to see all kinds of names being thrown out on every single team on the NHL by all kinds of people on social media. So don't freak out. But some of the names that we have heard that have been out there have been Montour, Fowler, Henrique, and latest one was Miller. So those are some of the bigger names that we've heard. But, you know, I don't know. It's kind of tough. You're looking at this roster. You're looking at, you know, who's got what clauses and everything like that on this team. And, I mean, to me, you know, I know there was the rumor about Miller possibly going to San Jose. I don't really see that happening. You know, he's got his modified no trade clause. I don't really see that. The ones that interest me more is I don't really know about Henrique being that big deal. The Ducks got him. I think Murray likes what he sees with him. I really don't see him getting out of there. Now, when you're talking about Fowler and Montour, maybe again, Fowler's also got a modified no trade clause as well. You know, the Ducks could go with one of those guys maybe to try and make that difference. They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to, you know, try to make up that difference there, obviously. And that's the part that's going to have to be figured out. Obviously, Murray will do something like that if, like we said, the Silverberg deal goes through. Plus, the Ducks are going to have to try to sign a bunch of players next season. So there's going to be some kind of shifting going on, Eddie. For me, I think the ones I look to are Montour and Fowler. As names that, you know, we've heard rumors about them before being traded. Those are the ones that I could maybe see. I really don't see Henrique and Miller going anywhere. Of course, the other big names that get thrown out there is Perry, Getzlaff, and Kessler. Everyone asks about that, but they have the full no movement clauses. Of course, you've heard Murray say, well, I'm not afraid to ask people to, you know, waive that and do that. But, you know, I don't know that those three guys will do that. So, that's where I'm at. I mean, it's kind of an interesting situation. They're going to have to try to figure this out, and something's going to have to be done on the trade deadline. Your thoughts on any of the other players that, you know, if this Silverberg deal goes through, that the Ducks might move?
I think right now one of the players that are untouchable without any clauses, I think, is probably Lindholm. He's one of our best defensemen. He's not going anywhere. Perry and Getzlaff, they seem like they're happy in Southern California. They have their families. I don't think they're going to waive to go anywhere. Kessler as well, I don't think he's going to waive. But Kessler, he might. Who knows about him? You know, I mean, he's been struggling this season. And last few seasons, maybe a change of scenery. But I can't see that happening. Henrique, we just signed him, and he's young. And like you said, Mike, I think Murray likes him. And he plays 110% each game. But it's rare to say, hey, Henrique had a bad game today. It's kind of rare to say that. He just plays, you know, I love the way he plays. Montour, and of course, Cam. Cam is always in the rumor mill. I think I logged into a football and a baseball, like, you know, rumors, and I saw Cam as a rumor on there. Like, he's going to quit hockey and go to football. And yeah, his name is going everywhere, but I don't think he's going anywhere, and I wouldn't want him to. I don't think he's hit his full potential yet. I think he still has that little, just a little few more steps, and we're going to see that. His skating is so smooth. And, of course, he lived with Scott Niedermeyer, which, you know, was a smooth skater as well. He took a lot of pointers for him. And, honestly, I don't want him going anywhere, and I want him to stay with the Ducks. And I just want him to just go over that hump. I know he's been in the league for a while now. I mean, I guess he's considered a veteran, even though he's still young. But I can't see them making a big splash like that. I can't see the Ducks throwing out and making a big wave, especially this season. Hopefully, if anything, you know, we can start moving some contracts and we can get something done and bring in a significant player that can help us come in the off season. But I can't really see them like moving any of those players right now. I don't know about Patrick Eaves. Mike, I don't know if you want to go ahead and explain what's going on with Eaves before we go into more detail about that.
Yeah, I mean, the Eaves thing has been kind of crazy. So, as you've heard, you know, they placed Eaves on waivers. Then he was assigned to San Diego, and he's just had a whole mess of problems this season. I mean, he had the rib issue. He's had the shoulder issue. He's got the illness thing. They did take him off the IR. And, you know, according to Cap Friendly, some of his contract has been, you know, basically buried off the cap because now he's down in San Diego. They've, you know, saved around $2 million. So you have that. I mean, he is signed through next season. You know, one leads me to believe, I wonder if something's going to happen where if maybe he retires or he gets bought out or something like that. You know, it's, I don't know. It's going to be kind of interesting. His deal, you know, unfortunately, he hasn't played a lot of games, obviously. He only played a couple games this season, and he's just constantly had health issues. So that's another possibility is maybe they try to do something like they did with, you know, Simone Dupre and try and do some kind of buyout deal and try to save some cap that way. That's, you know, something else that they could look at because they took him off the IR. They didn't put him on the long-term injury reserve like Casse. That I thought might have been another possibility. You could have tried to save some cap that way, maybe. But I mean, they did send him down to San Diego and do that. So, you know, there's not a lot of leeway there. I mean, a little over $2 million, you know, to save. But you know, it's just a sad situation. I really feel for Eaves, honestly. It's just tough. You know, the guy's been through a lot. I don't know what the future holds with him. But the Ducks may try to do something to. You know, try and save even some more, especially this next season coming up in 2019, 2020. Like I said, they're already saving some with him going down there. So, you know, I think the Ducks could do something else. You know, one of the ones I look at that we talked about a little bit before this too, Eddie, is maybe Montour. I know I've seen his name out there. You know, obviously he's a two-way defenseman, but he's been cheating a little bit on the offense, not playing as much on defense. We saw Auberg get booted out because of that, and he's a forward. So that's, you know, if one's got to go, that's kind of one I lean to. I'm not saying he would. I mean, he is an RFA too, and Murray likes that. So there's that aspect of it too. So there's a lot of moving parts in this, Eddie. It's going to be crazy, I think, coming up this next trade deadline. I mean, the Ducks got to do something. It's just a question of what are they going to do exactly if Silverberg gets this kind of deal.
Oh, definitely. Montour, I can see that too. I love Montour and he's a good player, but he gets caught cheating and he's expendable. He can be, you know, sent out away and we can get a good return for him because he has potential and especially with the right team and a different style, I think he can thrive a lot and we can get, like I said, a good return. What you mentioned with Patrick Eaves too as well, it's unfortunate. It's really sad and I hate to see that happen, Mike. Patrick Eaves was the first professional hockey player I interviewed and wrote about during the training camp this year. So, I mean, I'll always have that memory, but I have to still remember that, you know, this is hockey, a game of hockey, and business comes before pleasure. And as much as I like a player and I love him and how much any fans just gets close to a player, it's all about business. I mean, it's all about, you know, getting those wins and having a player that's going to produce the much they can for you to have your team be successful. I mean, there's players that I absolutely freaking hate. Lucic, Bufflin. I would hate for any of those two players that come to the Ducks. But if they came to the Ducks and they were contributing and helping us win, obviously I'm all for it. It's just business. But like you said, with this Silverberg, you know, thing lingering on too, there's something going to have to be done. Montour is going to want a significant raise than he's getting right now. And what it looks like right now, obviously we can't afford that. But I think maybe out of the names you mentioned, he'd probably be the first one to go. We have, you know, we have Larson that's pretty much, you know, I think he can fill a void given the opportunity and maybe play bigger minutes and have more responsibility. He can be that two-way forward too. He's a bigger guy and maybe he can produce a lot more. We've seen him already a few times. The Ducks have some, you know, some good quality prospects and defense. So, I mean, maybe he's the one to go. And I definitely hope that we don't lose Fowler. Like he's just, I can see him getting better. Like I said, you know, just to reiterate, you know, he lived with Scott Niedermeyer and trained with him and, who better to emulate anyone but Scott Niedermeyer. So it's going to be a weird deadline. I don't expect a big splash, and don't expect, you know, like the freaking Ducks going after McDavid or something like that. I hope you guys don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be minor deals, maybe, you know, a little bit of a splash, but I can't see that happening until the off season. And just, you know, just to say too, during the trade deadline and stuff like that, here at Ducks and Pucks, we're not going to just retweet random people's, you know, pages, and we're not going to post irrelevant information. What we post on our page is going to be 100% verified and accurate. We might be a little late, so we can just try to verify those facts. So I know it gets crazy and hectic. I'm pretty sure someone will post that McDavid's going to the Sabres, or we're going to have, like, I don't know, Tarasenko going to the Ducks, or Gibson going, you know, to Seattle, even though it's not even possible right now. But just, you know, just be aware of what's going on, and make sure you just, you know, you be a smart fan and check your facts, and don't believe those fake profiles, those people that live in their mom's basements just to troll people and want to, like, throw out those fake rumors and pretend they're someone they're not. So just, you know, just be aware of that. But, you know, we're here to give you 100%, you know, accurate information of the trade deadline, starting at 5 a.m. our time, too. So trust me, I'll be up. I'm up every year for that. I don't have work or school, like, you know, called off, like, whole life for trade deadline. So
no. Well, on that day, right, we'll all be huddled around our phones and laptops and iPads and whatever else other mobile device you have, checking out what's going on with the trades like we always do. But, you know, we'll be putting out the stuff on social media. We probably won't be doing a necessary live show. We've done that in the past, and usually we wait till about, you know, the end of the trade deadline, that all of a sudden all this stuff happens. So especially with the Ducks, we've seen a lot of the trades come in last minute, you know, a few minutes after. But we're definitely going to do a show for sure, going over what's gone on with the Ducks and the NHL as well. So look for that on Monday. But in terms of the Ducks, a lot of this just really depends on what happens after the Silverberg thing. Like I said, if that's the deal, then you're talking about, you know, $1.5 million. The Ducks are somehow going to have to figure that out because of the tagging rule. They can't be over that for this season. They've got to still, you know, adhere to the cap rules, you know, in the forthcoming year. That's just so teams can't circumvent the system. So that's my take on it. I mean, like I said, you look at the situation with Eves. They've already buried, you know, $2 million of his $3 million contract. So it's still going to get you. If they do a buyout, you still be a little bit short. So some stuff's going to have to happen. You know, even if that buyout doesn't happen, I mean, it may not. But my guess is if you had to pick someone that would get moved, it would be Montour. Like Eddie talked about, he's good for next year in his contract, but the following year he's probably going to want more money. If they did do Fowler, I mean, you got $6.5 million. That would be interesting because then – like we said, he still has this modified no trade clause, so he still have to deal with that. But if he was able to do something in there, then the Ducks could get something back in return, a significant player. But I don't know. I don't really see the team doing that. They don't seem to do that. Murray seems to do stuff during the middle of season, like the Henrique deal, or he seems to do stuff in the summertime when the NHL draft happens. So, you know, that's what I would look for more. But they'll definitely have to figure out something. Some other names that did come up, and depending on when you listen to this, but Devontae Smith-Pelly and Joseph Cramarosa both went on waivers on Wednesday, February 20th. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe dated after you listen to this, but, you know, the Ducks may try to go pick up those guys. I mean, those are guys that have both been on the team before. I kind of have mixed feelings. You know, Smith-Pelly, I'm not really a big fan of. Cramarosa, I'm more of a fan of. Those are some guys I would look at and maybe check out. I don't know. What are your thoughts on those two guys, Eddie? If the Ducks, you know, try to, you know, get players back like they did with Wagner.
No, DSP scored that. I think he was the hero for Washington, one of those Stanley Cup playoff games. I like his style of play. He's physical. And of course, Cramarosa and your nickname, a.k.a. Vodka Cranberry, I think it was. But I loved his style of play. He was really physical. I think he had like six or seven fights that season before he left. He's just a great player, an energy player. You know, he's not going to put up those big numbers for you, but he's going to sit there and sacrifice his body and do whatever it takes to energize the team. And I think that's what's lacking the Ducks. You know, it's a thing that's fading away in the NHL, and it's sad to see, and I'm kind of disgusted because that's the integrity of the game. It's a hard-hitting, physical game, and you need those players to provide that energy. And I mean, if you guys been to a few Ducks games and you're sitting there and there's no energy, you need players like that to get the crowd back into it. You know, if we had a players, you know, like, you know, DSP or a Cramarosa, you know, they can just bring that energy back into the building. And you can be losing 4-0 and you see them drop the gloves and you see the opponent's team getting their ass kicked. We're going to all cheer our asses off too. Like, hell yeah. And the crowd's back into the game, but it's been lacking. I've said this numerous times throughout the show. Like, we've lacked that physical presence. And I think I can count, like, on my hand, like, 5 fights we had the whole season. And that's unacceptable. This is a hard-hitting game. This isn't badminton. And if you're against fighting in hockey, you don't like the physicality, you can go to basketball where, you know, I think they had an injury because someone's hair was hurting or didn't have enough gel in their hair or whatever. But this is hockey. I mean, I would love to have a player like Bolt, either of them back, just to bring that physicality. I mean, DSP didn't really work out, and maybe he's not the, you know, the best, but Vodka Cranberry, I would love that back. Like, he played the game for the Ducks. He played the game because he loved it, and he sacrificed his body, and he dropped the gloves just to provide that energy for the team, and that's what we were lacking all season. We haven't really seen a player to drop them and have that energy. I don't want to see Perry dropping the gloves all the time. Like, dude, hell no. You're supposed to be scoring the goals. You're calling Perry. Score the damn goals. Yeah, it's cool to see that. I love Perry's passion. But, I mean, regardless of what you think about him, he's still a superstar. Like, he's still one of the top elite players. And he's been, like, raising his game up more since he came back. And we can't have him doing it. We can't have Kessler. I mean, those are our top 6 players. We need those bottom roll, those grinder, fourth liner players to provide the energy for the fans and for the team. And come on, the team responds to it too. If he drops the gloves, the team's like, okay, well, come on, guys, get your shit together and step up. You know, he just fought right now. Whether he won or lost, he still did something to provide the energy for the team. And I think the Ducks are lacking that this season, and a lot of teams are. And I think if the Ducks got a player like that back on their fourth line or even, you know, third line, they can contribute a little bit. I think that they'll start, you know, getting that more energy back, and the fans will get more into the game because it's been kind of quiet at Honda Center too as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that has changed a little bit. I mean, we did notice Perry's been a little bit more nasty. You see Kessler gets in a fight, Getzlaf gets in a fight. You see all kinds of, you know, a little bit of an uptick, at least in these last 4 games. That's kind of one thing that one of the fans asked us about too. You know, Alex asked us, you know, are the Ducks playing at a faster pace with the GM? Is the zone defense more effective? I mean, it's kind of weird because here's the thing that's going to come up now. If the Ducks do keep on winning and keep on playing better, you know what's going to come up, Eddie? It's going to be, did the players stop playing for Randy Carlyle? That's something that people have already hinted at too. And this question kind of hints at it, but the other way, I don't know if it's that necessarily, but I just think the system was never working when Carlyle came back. I mean, you know, the Ducks kind of had their old system last year. Now this year they've been more so going into the Carlyle system, and it's just not worked out. So I think that's been part of it. I think Murray behind the bench has been, you know, it's been kind of interesting. He hasn't, you know, coached any games. He's won 3 of the first 4, which, you know, it's a small sample size. But I don't know if the Ducks are necessarily playing a faster pace, but I feel like the old Ducks are trying to come out here a little bit. They've gotten a little bit more nasty. They've gotten a little bit more physical. They've gotten a little bit better at the forecheck. Nothing's perfect. You know, they haven't played perfect games, but when you drop a bunch of goals on Washington, that's pretty good. I mean, Minnesota's had a lot of injuries, but still you played a solid game against them as well. That's what I kind of see is going on with this team, is I see that they're trying to turn that corner and break out a little bit, and I like what I'm seeing. To me, it's just a question of, you know, how's it going to go the rest of the season? I think it's going in the right direction so far, and like I said, I don't think it's necessarily a faster pace, but I think they've definitely got a little bit more physical, which, like you're talking about, bringing in a DSP or Cramarosa is something that the Ducks need, is more physical type players to add to this roster, and maybe another scorer too, which we'll talk about here in a minute with this list we have. But that's kind of my take on it, Eddie. I don't know how you feel, but I think that they are, you know, kind of hinting back to the old Ducks, but The question is, will they get there, and is it worth getting there to just make the playoffs and get knocked out?
I think I kind of disagree. I think they're playing a different game now. I think they gave up on Carlisle. Just watching them play. I mean, I know growing up playing in club hockey and rec league. I mean, I'm no pro at all, but I mean, we all play hockey, and I'm really competitive. But there was coaches where they were just complete assholes, and I had one coach that was a full blown alcoholic that had his bottle of vodka each game and would push us against the wall and crap like that. And it's like, hell, we're gonna play for this guy. Screw him. I get the puck. I wouldn't skate that extra, you know, I wouldn't skate that extra thing. I wouldn't make that extra hit. I would just kind of like whatever and go with the motions of the game just to play. I still loved playing, but I mean, I just didn't want him the whole satisfaction of giving him that gratitude that he like coaches to a win. So I wouldn't play that well. Once we got a coach that I liked, and I'd give him my all for him. If the coach that just coached us and did well for us, and I'd go the extra mile. There's a few times too, you know, or not a few times, a lot of times where I'd make big hits, or I'd drop the gloves and fight someone just because I wanted to show my coach that I was a team player and wanted to be everything for my team. It just seemed like Ducks are more relaxed. And Carlisle's not a bad coach at all. He won a Stanley Cup for us. He's not a bad coach. It's just the players aren't responding to him, and just that happens. Sometimes things don't work out. We all have jobs. Unless you're a billionaire listening to this, that's cool. You can send me $1 million, I'll be happy. But no, but everyone has jobs. I mean, sometimes you have a boss you work for, and you have another boss that you'll give that extra mile for, because you just appreciate that person's, you know, style of managing you just like a coach. And I don't know what's going to happen with the Ducks the rest of the season. I know the West is crazy right now, but I like where the Ducks are going. And I like seeing them so just smooth, and just they're willing to, you know, that first game, they dropped the gloves twice. Mike, you almost let me stay in the restroom because they scored a goal when I was in the restroom. Like that
Vancouver game. And I told you, don't come back.
And you know what? A few fans tweeted too, like, hey, keep him in the restroom. And I almost stood in the restroom. I was like, if Vancouver were to score, I probably went back to the restroom and stood there. And you know what, Mike, we had to do a podcast and talk about how come the beer at Honda Center makes me pee a lot. That's kind of weird too, but that's a different story. But I don't know, I just like the passion, and just, I don't know, for me, it just seems that the Ducks are just, they seem more just relaxed, and I really think it was a coaching problem, and I think they just weren't responding to him. And you know what? We're never gonna know, because we're not gonna go down there and sit there and dissect and get the answer from, you know, from Carlisle or Murray or the players. Like, they're not gonna sit there. They're too professional to sit there and bash anyone. So it's just all speculation. But in my opinion, and you know, me growing up playing sports and playing hockey, I mean, when we didn't like a coach, we just didn't play for him and did everything we could to get him kind of like, you know, fired. And I know it's sad to say, but I mean, especially that one coach that was an alcoholic that would like push us and hit us and stuff. I mean, definitely we wanted him out. We're just kids. So I don't know. It's just like my personal opinion on it. I just like where this team is going, and I hope next season that we can get a coach that can be a player's coach and just kind of have us, you know, to be the potential that we are. Ducks aren't a bad team at all, and there's not a bad player on that team, and each player has the potential to put those big numbers up, and there's no reason why that we shouldn't be talking about a Stanley Cup. I mean, besides this season, because it's been kind of a roller coaster of emotions, but I mean, I hope that we can bounce back from it, and I love what I'm seeing from the Ducks. Especially against Washington, you guys beat the Stanley Cup champions. Ovechkin hates to freaking lose, and I guarantee he was screaming at his team, why are you losing against this team? But I loved it, and Wild too as well. We came there, and we didn't play as great against the Wild, but you know, we forced them wide, and we made good defensive choices. Our defense pinched at the right time, but we got back and had that defensive integrity. And boom, Bruce Boudreaux, you got beat by a coach or a GM that fired you. It's now a coach. I think someone tweeted on Facebook that, Mike, I don't know if you saw that comment. Like, I think this is the first GM in history that beat a coach that he fired. Our first GM/coach that beat a coach that he fired. I don't know. I got to look that up. But I think it was kind of funny to see.
No, I mean, I agree with you in the sense that you're talking about, you know, with Carlisle and the players maybe not playing as hard for him. I do think that there's that element of that. And I think part of the problem for this team throughout the season was you had all these losing streaks and Carlisle was still there. And it was kind of a question of, okay, is he going to make it to the end of the season or is Murray going to pull the pin on this grenade like we talked about before? So I think that was part of the distraction. I do think, like you said, I think that was part of the issue for sure. And I do like what they're doing now. I think now that he's gone, like you said, they can kind of relax. Okay, that situation's out of the way. So I think that kind of goes to the next thing too is, you know, Jordan Samuels Thomas put it out, that article about Dallas Eakins coming in. We talked about him too. And I think it's still early to talk about this. Obviously, Murray said he's not going to make any decisions until after the season. He's going to wait till the summer and whatnot. And you and I have talked about it before, but I think Dallas is my pick too. Like you said, players want to play for certain coaches, and Dallas has done a great job with the goals. Obviously, you've seen these young guys come up. The team's been tearing it up. He's been doing decently. You know, obviously, some people go back and they point to his time in Edmonton, and they look at that. And I think he learned from that too. And that's what Jordan talked about in his article. That's why I really liked what he wrote, because a lot of what he said, I mean, almost agreed with it. I'd say 95-99%. I don't really think there was much I disagreed with. So I think a lot of it does have to do with the willingness to play for a coach. And the players aren't going to admit it. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, we stopped playing for Carlisle. They're not going to, you know, create that kind of controversy or deal with it. It's already been done with. So I agree with you. I think some of that did play a factor with it. And I think that the team is a little bit more relaxed. You know, they got to now get through this trade deadline, obviously, and names are all floating around because – Murray's like, hey, you know, anybody's up for grabs, probably the exception of Gibson. That's probably the only one. But I think the thing that we do have that's kind of interesting, Ed, is we had someone reach out to us and gave us a bunch of names that the Ducks were looking at. Now, this list, there's a lot of names on this list. So we don't have time to go through all this. We'd be doing a podcast for like 3 hours. I don't think you want to listen to me for 3 hours. Maybe Eddie, but not me. But anyways... Yeah. But Eddie is going to put together an article with these players that are of interest that we've heard from a source close to the team. But we're just going to go over a couple that we think may come up, you know, basically in this next week. Maybe they won't, but there's some names on here we'll talk about. And like I said, Eddie will have a follow-up article going into a whole bunch of them. Now, I'll preface this. A lot of these names are players that have played in the minor leagues either currently or for most of their career. Some of them have been in the NHL. So we'll go over a couple. I pulled a couple names that were interesting to me. Eddie pulled a couple that were interesting to him, so we'll talk about them for a little bit. A couple guys that I was looking at that come from the Devils organization. Obviously, the Ducks have made some trades with New Jersey. So you have Nick Lapin and you have Blake Patella. Those are two guys in the Devils organization. They're kind of interesting, kind of players to look at. We were talking about offense and getting some more scoring. So you got two wingers here. Lapin's a right winger and Patella's a left winger. They're both decent size. They're both, 6 foot, 5'11", 200 pounds, 180 in that range. So there's, you know, some offense there that you're looking at. As far as Lapin goes, he's played in the NHL 52 games. He's at 8 points, so it's not a lot. He's currently playing in the minors right now. He's got 22 points in 43 games, 12 goals and 10 assists. He's a well-rounded player. The scouting reports say he's good on the forecheck. He can score an offense, and he has some grit, some things that we're kind of looking at. And Patella is another guy, obviously, as we said, from the Devils organization. He's played in 26 NHL games, not as much scoring. He's had a goal and a couple assists. So not, you know, as much on the offense, but he does play with a little bit of an edge and he does bring some energy to the lineup. So that's something else for the Ducks to look at. So these are two guys that, you know, I look at it just because the Ducks have traded with New Jersey before. And if the Ducks are looking to add some more energy and a little bit of push, they're not big name players. But like we said, if the Ducks are going for these bargain Bob type deals, which a lot of these names on the list you'll see in the article kind of tend to lean towards that. So those are some of the ones I looked at. Eddie, you had a couple guys that you were looking at, and you were talking about, you know, the Ducks trying to increase their physicality. So what are some of the names off this list that you wanted, you know, the fans out there to kind of keep in mind and maybe keep an eye on?
I usually like tend toward more physicality guys because I love that part of the game. Vecchione, and I apologize if that name is butchered. I promise I will one day fly to Canada and take a hockeyologist name class and figure out these names. So, yeah, he's 25 years old. He's 5'10", 194 pounds. Not too big, but he plays with a certain edge, and he plays with that grittiness, and he has the potential to be a top-line forward. He plays center right now, and he just keeps improving his game. And he's been set to have a skill and potential that hasn't been reached yet, and he's waiting for that just a touch. He currently plays for the Phantoms right now, and he has 29 points in 47 games. He's one of the guys, he's 5'10", I guess 5'10 is, you know, short for a hockey player, but he plays bigger than his game, and I think we remember a player that played bigger than his role, Chris Wagner, and look at all the success he has with Boston. He's having a pretty good season with Boston. He's been on the score sheet a lot, and he's one of the top players in hits too. So, I mean, that's one of the names that I would like to see the Ducks acquire. It. I mean, it's one of those bargain Bob deals where it's not going to take anything but, you know, a lower draft pick, maybe swapping prospects and giving him an opportunity. So that's one of them. And then another one I looked at, it was Mateau. He was a former first-round player by the Devils. He's 6'2", 220-pound center. He's a big kid. He's played in 64 NHL games already with the Devils, Canadiens, and the Golden Knights. He has 7 points in those games, but he's more of he's a faster player with a big frame, and he loves to play physical. He uses his body more than anything, and I love that. The only problem with him, he tends to take some bad penalties, which I know it's going to hurt the team, but I think, you know, he's, you know, given his age, he's more a little mature, and he can probably, you know, he knows how to play the game better. He's 24 years old. He's played on 3 teams already, and he can be used in different roles too. It's just not just that one physical role. We could try him on, you know, like we did with Patrick Maroon, and put him on that left wing with Getzlaff and Perry if they ever reunite, and get with that. Just, you know, I know they have Raquel on there, but adding that physical player, maybe it might fit with them, and maybe he can have a shot and finally find a home and be consistent in scoring. He has that potential. He's a big body, and, you know, he could be that front of the net and have Corey just kind of circle around and get those, like, extra opportunities, especially, you know, with that guy in the net. And as much as he's such a big frame and he's a physical player, it's going to be hard for defenders to move him out of the way unless you're a Dustin Byfuglien or a Brett Burns kind of player, but they don't, or a Brett Burns doesn't play that kind of role that's going to get you out in front of the net. So he's one of the players that I would love to see the Ducks get. It might take a third rounder, maybe a third rounder to get him. I'm not sure how much, you know, his team's invested in him, but I mean, he's one of the names that popped up and stood out. And like I said, I love those physical players, and I think that's important in hockey still. And getting those big bodies and getting in front of the net and willing to play that physicality. And, you know, I mean, hopefully, like I said, you know, just reiterate, you know, he's 24 now. So hopefully his discipline aspect, he's been around the game and he knows, and he can actually just change that, you know, that way. He's never going to be a point producer really, but score, but he's going to create opportunities and create spaces for his team. And I think that's what the Ducks need. They have a lot of potential and a lot of players that they can put the puck in the net. They just need someone that can kind of just help them out for that, and he can create that space for them. So those are the two players that I would like to see. But like Mike said, we're going to put together an article, and we had a source that gave us this, and thank you for that. We won't name you, like you said, but we'll throw an article together and list, you know, who the players are and where they've been drafted and where they are now and their potential. So if you guys, you know, read the article, come tomorrow, you guys can comment and give us your advice, and let's talk about that, especially Monday. We have all morning Monday to talk about all this, you know, this trade deadline, the potential. But, hey, we're here all weekend to talk about it too, so we would love to hear your feedback on any of these players.
Yeah, and, you know, one last guy, I guess we'll mention two off this list. I mean, we talked about some oldie but goodies, I guess, with DSP and Camarosa. Another one that showed up on this, it was kind of interesting, was Michael Scarbosa. You remember he was on the Ducks before. Currently, he's, you know, playing with the Hershey Bears. He's got 44 points, 23 goals, 21 assists in 52 games. Yeah, you know, you remember he, you know, he's 6 foot, 175, played center for the Ducks. He can play wing as well. You know, consistency has been a little bit of an issue with him, but he's been doing pretty good. I mean, you know, he's a two-way forward. He can score and get in on the forecheck. Obviously, the concern with him is if, you know, he's only going to be a career, you know, AHL-type player, or if he's going to be a good role player for the Ducks down the road. But it's another name that popped up on the list, and it was kind of interesting because, obviously, the Ducks had him before. So that's another guy to look at as well. So there's a handful of players on there. Like Eddie said, he's going to have an article on this list. We've got like 20-something players on this list. So, I mean, if we were to go into all of them on here, it, you know, we'd be on the show forever. So we only wanted to throw out some of the ones that stuck out to us, but we will put it in an article so that way you can go back and look at them. You know, another player to kind of look at too, Eddie, that, you know, we had a fan question too about was Sprague. You know, he's been benched the last couple games. And what do you think? Do you think that that's a guy that might be on the move? You know, the Ducks had Auberg and he was benched for several games and then he was shipped out. What do you think about him? Is that one that maybe the Ducks might ship out as well?
I have no idea. That's kind of like puzzles me. I go to the game with you and win a Sprague jersey and all of a sudden he's being scratched. I'm like, oh man, what's going on? Am I bad luck for him? I Googled things. I looked at it. I rewatched games. I don't understand why he's been a scratch. It kind of puzzles me. And I don't know if there's some disciplinary issues that we don't know about, or I have no idea what's going on with him. I think he should be in the lineup. He has a lot of potential and we've seen it. We've seen those flashes of greatness, those Mr. Geometry over there that's scoring goals off the, you know, the corner and stuff. So I have no idea. I hope it's something like that. The trade deadline, anything can happen. You can hear, you know, we're not going to trade this person, we're not going to trade that person. But I mean, come on, guys. I mean, Wayne Gretzky got traded. You traded the best player ever in the game. So I mean, if he can get traded, anything can happen. So we just got to kind of wait and see. I kind of don't want him to get traded. I want to see his potential and hold on to him because we just got him. But, you know, I just, like I said, it's business, and if we can get something better, then I'm all for it. I mean, I'm all for just making this team the best team it can possibly be. And, yeah, like I said, it sucks to see players go. I hate it. Like, you know, Eves going down to San Diego, he's one of my favorite players, and I have that memory from him when I talked to you earlier. But, I mean, it's all part of the game. It's all business, and we just got to, like, you know, just roll with it. But, I mean, that's the biggest question mark for me. I can't even answer why he's been scratched at all. It's just it's been crazy, like, to even think about him getting scratched consecutive games. But, hey, just got to trust, you know, the people that have more experience than me that make those decisions and go from there. And hopefully, come trade deadline, in my opinion, I hope he's still with the Ducks and we can see his potential just grow from there. But if he gets traded, I hope we bring back some assets that are going to benefit us more and make the Ducks a better team.
Yeah, because if you look at the Ducks roster, I mean, you look at the scoring right now. We all know Silverberg's in the lead with 16 goals. You got Henrik with 12, Getzlaf with 11, and then it's Raquel and Sprague both with 9. Obviously, Kase's got 11, but he's out, as you know, for the rest of the season. So, I mean, he's your fourth leading scorer on the team. You know, and we remember Auberg was leading the team for a good portion of the season, and he got traded. So I don't know if it's kind of that issue of him not playing defense and playing well-rounded. I remember that was kind of the concern with Auberg, and obviously he was out for those 3-4 games, and then we saw him go bye-bye after the big, you know, hoopla of him when the Ducks got him for free, you know, off waivers earlier in the season. So I would like for him to stay. That's the only reason why I could see he's being scratched, that there's some kind of issue where he's not, you know, playing a responsible two-way game, maybe in Murray's eyes, since obviously Carlisle's gone. So that's the only thing I can see. But other than that, I haven't really seen anything. So I don't want him to get sent out either because, like I said, the Ducks don't have a lot of guys scoring goals, and that's the problem. So
Auberg, too, he's yet to score a goal with Minnesota. He hasn't scored a goal at all yet. So maybe it was a good thing the Ducks sent him out. I guess that was a good call for them because he's yet to score a goal. I mean, if you're a professional hockey player, you shouldn't just focus on just playing a one-way game. You have to be that two-way player and you have to, you know, grind it out. Hey, if you get caught playing defense as a forward, you try your best to play defense. And or, you know, if you have to, you know, back check, you have to do that. If he's not willing to put that effort in and he's just being lazy and just thinks that he's just going to be that player that's just going to play that one-dimensional role, then, I mean, unfortunately, like, we both agree on Mike. We don't want to see him go just yet. But, I mean, if you're not going to put in the work for us, then you can go packing, because I think the Anaheim Ducks organization want players to be there 110% and not just, you know, 90% or 100%. We expect more. We have that expectation of more.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what Murray's been saying too, you know, that no one's safe. So, I mean, you know, I think that's part of the reason too that you've seen a lot of uptick in what, you know, the Ducks are doing, as we talked about earlier, Carlisle being gone, of course, too. So we're getting close to wrapping up the show. I guess one last question we can kind of talk about. I know a lot of people ask this one, and Eddie, we can kind of go over it, but Josh asks about waivers. You know, what happens when a player gets placed on them, and what happens when they clear waivers? So you can pretty much take your crack at it, Eddie, and you want to explain it, and I can kind of add to it if necessary. But it's not too confusing. Sometimes maybe it can be, but you want to explain that for Josh, Eddie?
Yeah, a really good question, Josh. Thank you for bringing that up. But basically, when you put a team on waivers, you're pretty much wanting to send them down. And every other team has an opportunity to get those players. And they had an effect because they didn't want NHL teams sending their best players to the minor leagues and, like, you know, pretty much like boosting their teams up because they weren't performing well in the NHL. So when you send a player on waivers like Patrick Eves, every team has an opportunity to take that player. Now, if they don't, the team either has a choice. They can send them back down to the AHL, or they can keep them up to the NHL and you know, and they can keep playing them, and they can send them back down without having to have them, like, get bid on by any teams. Now, however, if a team does, you know, take, for example, if a team, you know, took Patrick Eves, then they have him. Now, if that team wanted to just go back and flip Patrick Eves and trade him, they can't necessarily do that right away. Each team that put a bid in, they have to actually put them on, I guess, a re-entry waiver, unofficially re-entry waivers, but they have to go through every other team that put in a bid for Patrick Eves, and they would have to, you know, give them the opportunity to take them before they can trade them again. And then one thing I wanted to point out, too, about the one-way and two-way contracts, I've been seeing a lot of questions on that. Like, how can a player be sent, put on waivers? They have a two-way contract. One-way and two-way contracts only deal with salary-based stuff. There's nothing to do with, you know, waivers and stuff like that. So just don't get confused about that. But, I mean, that's pretty much waivers. You just, you know, you put a player down. The last place team, you know, will get the number one priority, and it goes up from there. And if that last place team takes him, they can either keep him, they can trade him after that, unless, you know, it goes back to another team trying to take him. So I don't know, Mike, if you want to reiterate to that, but I think it's, you know, I think after reading it and breaking it down, I think it's kind of like self-explanatory how it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's just when they send a player down, a lot of it also is based upon the age and the games played and whatnot. There's a whole formula for the waiver thing. It's kind of complicated as far as whether or not they're exempt or not. You can look it up. Cap Friendly does a good breakdown of the specifics of that, because there's a lot to what makes a player eligible and what makes one not. But when a player does get sent down, like Eddie said, it's basically the reverse order of the standings. So the worst team gets the first crack at it, and it goes down from there. And that's how it works, basically. And then if a team decides to keep a player up, they can for 10 games or 30 calendar days. After that, if they keep them beyond either one of those, they have to go through waivers again. So sometimes you may see them place a guy on waivers, but he'll still be at the club for maybe a couple weeks or a couple games or whatnot. Sometimes that happens. So, but yeah, I mean, that's just the waiver process. It's basically so teams can't just send players up and down all the time. You know, there's some consequence. There's some strategy as far as what you're going to do when you're trying to send a guy down or whatnot. And, you know, sometimes teams send a guy down on purpose, hoping that another team will pick up the player. We've seen that too, where sometimes maybe a guy's not performing or he has a big contract and they want someone else to take him, and it usually doesn't happen. So waivers isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, some teams try to use it, you know, as leverage to create cap space or to create roster space with the lineup too. So it's just some things.
Or some teams don't have a choice either. They just don't have room. Someone came back from injury. The Winnipeg Jets sent Mark Dano down on waivers. The Avalanche picked him up. He didn't work out with the Avalanche. They put him on reentry waivers. Winnipeg got him back again. So things like that, it's just kind of complicated, but it kind of prevents people, you know, for example, if, you know, the Washington Capitals are doing bad, you don't want to see Ovechkin get sent down to their minor league club just to kind of get them to win the, you know, their championship over there. It's just kind of more a structured thing and one of those CBA rules to protect the players too as well. So, I mean, it's just one of those like admin things that has to happen. And I'm kind of glad and I have no complaints about the waiver process. I mean, it is what it is, and I kind of like what's going on in place, so I have no issue with that.
Yeah, and you bring up one other good point too. Like, for example, you know, you get a player back, so you have Perry out forever, and you bring him back, and then you're over the roster limit. Well, then you have to send somebody down. So, you know, you're kind of stuck like that until we get towards, you know, the playoff situation. Then I don't want to go into it because then it's going to get more confusing. But there's different things that happen as the playoffs approach. But during the regular season, you know, if you're going over that roster limit, then you've got to send somebody down. You can't just pile on all the players. So that's something else to think about too. So yeah, it's a good system. I mean, the way that they do it, it's pretty fair. I think it gives teams chances to pick up other players as well. So I like it. You know, it's something that it's exciting too. Sometimes you see players come and go and whatnot. So that's the process. It kind of, you know, in the simplified form, obviously there's a lot of more complications to it involving how you get qualified for that, what happens when the playoffs come up. We're not going to go into that, but that's, you know, in a nutshell, the general sense of how the waiver process works. So like we said, with that, we'll be back next week covering the aftermath of the trade deadline, if there's a lot of it for the Ducks, or if there's not, or if there's some other breaking news. And this weekend, if you have a chance, we're going to be at Huskins Coffee Business. Kent's going to be there if you want to come meet him. We're going to have the Duck game on. He's got a big projector screen there. We're also going to have the mess hall canteen there with some food as well. They're going to be, you know, it's going to be a good event. So if you get a chance to come by, it's at 1901 East 1st Street, number 138 in Santa Ana. So we'll be doing that a little bit early if you want to come hang out, like 5:30. The game's a little bit later in the night. It should be a lot of fun. We're trying to do something a little bit different, and it should be a good time. He doesn't just have coffee. There's beer there too, so you can get your drink on as well if you want. Everybody's welcome to come, so check that out. And also, you know, check out our Patreon.com website. It's patreon.com/ducksandpucks. You can go on there and donate. You can get some free stuff as well. And we've got a couple of new people that donate, so we appreciate that as well. And we'll see you, you know, after the trade deadline. And let's go, Ducks.